We're going to be doing the 37th Mizmor, which I have hitherto avoided because of its length. And then I decided it's about time to address it. One of the things I wanted you to see, and you would otherwise perhaps not see it if you were not looking for it, is to highlight that this is also written in the alphabetical order. But not verse after verse after verse. You will see that Aleph has essentially a little poem in and of itself and has four lines to it. And Bet is the same. And Gimel is the same. Dalet is slightly different. It only has three little lines. And then you move on and you'll see that most of the time it is four lines, each one almost as if it were a stanza all on its own. I wanted you to see how certain phrases are repeated again and again and again, sometimes with minor variations. It is almost as if you're working on a theme. The most common phrase that is repeated over and over again is Yirshu Aretz, will inherit the earth. Now you all know this line, probably not from Jewish sources, the meek shall inherit the earth, which is Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ve'anavim Yirshu Aretz, which means the humble or the meek will inherit the earth. You will see that this repeats itself over and over again. You will also see repetition of the word Ushchon Le'olam and will dwell there forever. And you'll see that repeated. And in fact, that is the theme that binds this entire long mizmor of 40 verses together. Namely, that the success of evildoers, their proliferation, is but a blip in the eye of one who looks at the whole expanse of history, and that the good will triumph, and those that looked like they were the oppressed or the humble ultimately will inherit this earth. Some of the things sound like a good didactic poem written in Aleph Bet, and we said that Aleph Bets are often didactic poems. You're trying to teach certain values, and you're telling them the bullies may look like they're strong today and they're getting by, the cheaters are rich, but in the end they will fall, and the do-gooders will triumph, they will survive. That's essentially what you're trying to teach somebody, a moral lesson, so that the benefits of being good are not immediate, but they're long-term. There's, however, much more going on here, and I want to be able to check that out, so lest you think that it's this kind of like simple-minded, do-good poem, that you'll see that, in fact, it's not until we reach a very critical verse here that seems to turn the whole thing on its end and suggest that it isn't at all a simple, didactic, moral tale. Le David. Now, on the surface, one might say that this is composed by David, and there's no reason to think otherwise, in which he's teaching, it's like the older person teaching the young and giving them life's lessons. Al titchar b'mere'im. The word tacharut in modern Hebrew means to compete. Don't try competing with the evildoers. Al tekaneh b'osei avla. Don't be jealous of those who do crooked things. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch explains to us that the word avla, avil, has a shorish called ol, which is a yoke, somebody who has responsibility. And he says that the term avla means the abuse of one's power, the abuse of one's position. Aven, on the other hand, Aleph Vavnun, which I told you in the past might imply a no-no, he says, comes from the word on, which means strength, and it is the abuse, the exploitation for evil purposes of one's strength. So, avla is one's position. On would imply the abuse of one's power, which could include physical power as well as money. Not everybody agrees that the word titchar means compete. Some say that it comes from the word charon, af, which is anger, and it means reflexively, don't anguish yourself by seeing evildoers. Don't let it get to you. Don't be jealous of them, saying, look at those guys, the cheaters, those swindlers. כחציר מהרה ימלו, they will shrivel up like so much dry grass, וכירק דשא יבולון, and like any kind of green that suddenly pops up, just as quickly it shrivels and rots. Instead, בטח בהשם ועשה טוב, trust in God and do good, שכון ארץ, dwell on this earth, וראה אמונה, and the word ראה is not aleph, see, but ראה meaning to graze. In other words, feed yourself on faith. Sustain yourself on it. And in the process, vihit'anag al Hashem, and allow yourself to take pleasure with God and trust vayiten lecha, but this is not merely trust, a promise, and He will give you mishalot libecha, all that your heart really wants. Not much has been made of hit'anag al Hashem in this context. In other contexts, it has been written. And that is that many people view that being very pious and religious means to lihistapek the mu'at, to have very little, and to eschew the pleasures of this world. And what he's telling you, instead of being jealous of what they've got, look at what you do have and take joy in it. There's nothing worse than not recognizing the gifts that God gave you and taking full pleasure in them. So yes, you are supposed to eat and enjoy and make a brocha in the process, you understand? And he's telling you, you've got enough with which to take pleasure, knowing that God will give you what your heart really desires, not necessarily what your gut wants. The real needs, the really important things, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will give you. Gol al Hashem dalkecha. Gol, we've seen that word before, galgal. Roll it out, lay it out for him. And others say gol al Hashem means make sure that you're driving towards Hashem, that your pathway leads to God. In other words, whatever you choose to do, make sure that it's something that God would be happy with. Uftach alav. And again, trust him. V'hu yaseh. And leave it to him. Now, simply Rashi tells us, don't say, I have to be a cheater. There's so much cheating and swindling going on. I may as well, if you can't beat him, join him. There's no other way of making a living except for cutting corners. And so he's saying, no, don't do that. You make sure that what you're doing is okay by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then the rest will go further. Radak tells us here, there are three qualities that are being mentioned here. That are found in human behavior, both for the good and for the bad. And that is the heart, the hand, and the mouth. The opposite of the evil. The evil man thinks, I get what I want, however I want it. This is survival of the fittest. And no matter how you get there, the winner fights history. The opposite of that is betach b'Hashem. The rich, the powerful, really rely on their wealth and on their power and on their influence, and they think that they can get away with it. Aseh tov, do good, instead of doing violence, theft, swindling of any kind. Do good means give tzedakah, and there is a promise that God will then pay you back. And ushchon ba'aretz ure'eh be'emuna, what is a re'eh in this case? I told you, ro'eh is a shepherd. He says it means to teach, to lead. Dwell on the earth and lead, teaching wherever you live. Teach people Yiras Hashem and faith. That's what your goal is to do. And the rest, let God take care of it. And as a result, v'hotzi ka'or tzidkecha, he will bring out your righteousness. You will be vindicated like the sunshine coming out of the darkness. Umishpatecha katzuhoraim, your judgment will come out clear and bright as the sun at noon. But meanwhile, dom lahashem. Dom usually means vayidom aharon, silence. In other words, there may be realities that you're seeing that defies what I just told you. What you will see, the existential reality that you're able to see in your lifetime, might indicate that it's not the case. And therefore, in those cases, schweig, as they say in Yiddish, keep quiet. Others say this quiet also means have patience. And that's why Rashi says that it means both. Have patience, but remain patiently silent, waiting for Hashem. V'hitcholelo. Now here's a strange term. Hitcholel is reflexive. Tochelet means hope. Ibn Ezra says, no, it comes from the root. Chil kayoleda. Like the pangs of a woman in birth. And that would mean, and keep the pain and that strife and that struggle inside, silently. Yes, you're struggling inside, but let it go. Rabbi Shimshon Rifael here says as follows. All the days of a human being's life is as if he were inside his mother's womb. And what happens around him is in some respects contractions that make it seem like something is out to kill him. When in fact, he ultimately is birthed into another world. So that the baby in the process of being birthed feels that this is some horrible cataclysmic event that's happening to him. When in fact he's coming out into this new world. Ditto for death. While you're here, and you're being contracted and tightened in a vise of a great deal of phenomena that make no sense and that defy logic and defy our notion of a benevolent God, know that all of those are a struggle towards being born into another world where it all will come out okay. Ve'al titchar b'matzliach dalko. Repeating that line, you see, al titchar. And don't either enrage yourself with the other one that seems to be so successful, or don't try to compete with him. But which one? With whom should you not compete? Be'ish ose mizimot. With a person who's plotting up all kinds of schemes and scams. Don't try to compete with him. Heres me'as. Let go of your fury and of your anger. Azov chema. Malbim explains that as is the external manifestations of anger. Stop screaming, stop yelling. But inside that heartburn that you get, leave that back. Ve'al titchar, and don't compete, don't enrage. Ach leharea. Ach means, what should you compete with? Who can be better? Yeah, but not who can be bad. Who can be worse? Who can cut the shortcuts? Ki mireim yekaretu. For evildoers will be cut off. Ve'kove Hashem, but those that trust God, Hema Yoshu Aretz, they will inherit the earth. Ve'ot me'at, and just in a little bit more time, Ve'en Rasha, and there's no more vicious cruelty. Ve'hitbonanta al mekomo, and should you look at his place where he once was, and then he's not there anymore. They will be gone. Ve'anavim yirshu aretz, and I told you, the humble will inherit the earth. Ve'hitangu, and will take great pleasure, al hof shalom, for this great peace. And the great peace is because everything is reconciled. Everything is makes sense. You understand that? It comes to completion. And with that, we have the end of the first bite. Vision, it'll all be okay. Next thing you know, there won't be any more evildoers. Just hold on a little bit, and it's just a little bit more time. Hold on a little bit more. How long? In my lifetime? Or do I have to say, ki elef shanim be'enecha ki yom etmol ki yavor, in the eyes of God, 1,000 years is but a blink of an eye? The next part will talk about what evildoers try to do while we're standing meekly waiting. Zomem rasha la tzadik. The evildoer plots and schemes against the righteous. V'chorek elav shinav, and he gnashes his teeth against him. Why does the Rasha hate the tzadik? His very existence, the fact that he's still here, actually is a condemnation of him. They hate us. The very fact that we exist actually flies in the face of their entire theology. And evil peoples are very uncomfortable with righteous. They call them, they mock them, do-gooders, nebishes. And as a result, Adoshem Yishak Lo, God will laugh at him at the Rasha. Ki ra'a ki yavo yom, because he sees that his day will come. The day of reckoning will come for him. You may not see it, but I'm giving you the assurance. Cheref patchu reshaim. They take their swords, vedarchu kashtam, stretch their bows, lehapil ani ve'evyon, to bring down the poor, the destitute, litboach yishrei derech, to slaughter those that walk on this straight path. Being honest, being simple, even being poor in a world of dog-eat-dog. In fact, using a purely Darwinian situation, I don't care if it's socialism or if it's Nazism. What do you do with those that can't carry their own weight? What do we do with those that are feeble, those that are mentally retarded, those that are mentally ill? We kill them. What do we do with parasitim, as they used to call them in Russia, who can't carry their own weight? They're parasites. We get rid of them. And the notion, by the way, the same thing goes with what we call euthanasia today. They're old. They're suffering. What good do they do? Get rid of them. The rishis that actually operates on a certain kind of reason. There's a certain logic to it, you see? Because it uses the logic of the animal world. The big eat the little. You're not strong enough. You die. At best, your body can provide some food and energy for the strong that prey on you. And if you take that kind of a picture as opposed to moral law, you're left with nothing but a material world. You see, if you don't believe in the notion that there actually is a thing called good and evil, as opposed to what is strong or weak, winning or losing, then this is the world you're at. This is where you're living. And therefore, they have no room for the hard-working little guy. But instead, Chalbam tavo belibam, the sword that they went to try to kill off, the honest will come back as a boomerang against their own heart. Vekashtotam tishabarna, and their bows will, in the process, break. All this, why? Tov me'at latzadik, for the righteous, a little bit is also good. Mehamon resha'im rabim. So it's almost as if the world can exist for one little tzaddik, and his ability to hold the world up, he's the atlas, it's for him that God has not destroyed the world, than all the multitudes of evildoers. It's this little tiny tzaddik that you are, that's keeping you alive, keeping the rest of us alive. Kizroot resha'im tishabarna, their arms will be broken, but zroa also means their strength. What they wanted to actually rely on, what they got them to their position of power, will ultimately be broken. V'somech tzadikim Hashem, and meanwhile Hashem is supporting, holding up the righteous. Deya Hashem yemei tmimim, God knows the days of those that are tamim. And tamim does not mean simple-minded. It does not mean innocent. Tamim means somebody who what he says, what he feels, what he does is consistent. People of integrity. Malbim here points out something critical. What do you mean God doesn't know the days of the Rishoyim? And he tells us something based on the Moira Nevuchim, which I need to refer to here because the rest of it then will make sense. In Moira Nevuchim, the Rambam posited a position which at first raised the ire. He argues that the world runs on two forms of hashgacha. Hashgacha klalit and hashgacha pratit. Hashgacha klalit, God embedded into natural law. It is a general providence that ensures the survival of the species, so ensures the survival of the universe, but doesn't look at the details. And as a result, you can have a gigantic forest fire. It destroys everything, but what will happen ultimately? New saplings burn up. Remember Yellowstone's great fire? And then next thing you know, it comes back. A tsunami comes and wipes out gosh knows how many hundreds of thousands of people. But then what happens? It all evens itself out and comes back to an equilibrium. that kind of natural law is blind and doesn't make a difference between one individual and another. It looks instead at the collective. And the collective survives as a result. There, God does not bother knowing or caring about each one. There is, however, Hashgacha Pratit. Hashgacha Pratit means that special watching of one individual against all the laws of nature. Where against all odds, and no matter what your last CAT scan shows, suddenly the tumor is gone and nobody can explain it. Why everybody else is being killed and somehow you survived. How it seemed like there was somebody watching just over you. That Hashgacha Pratit was promised to Am Yisrael, but the Mor HaNevuchim says it's also promised only to those who connect with God. The Abarbanel explains it, that when it says Hashem in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha Al Yad Yeminecha, God is like your shadow, if you go around life doing what you do as if God is not there, He treats you like you're not there. But if you always act as if Shivisi Hashem Nenegdi Tomid, as if the Rebbeinu Shalom is watching you, and every step you take is as if the Rebbeinu, I have to please what's good in the eyes of God. I can't do this because God would not want me to do this. Then the Rebbeinu Shalom also focuses on you. So the word Yodea is not just knowledge, but it's also love. It's that special attention. And they are the ones that get it. That's why Radak tells us, Mashgiach. He's watching over the Tmimim, not the others. And as a result, Nachalatam Le'olam Tihyeh. Their inheritance, their legacy will survive forever. Both Ba'olam Hazeh and Ba'olam Haba. Lo Yevoshu Be'et Ra'ah. They will not be shamed when evil comes. Ubimei Avon Yisbao, and in the days of famine and hunger, they will be satisfied. Kirishaim Yovedu, for the evil will be wiped out. Voivei Hashem, and the enemies of God, Yikar Karim. Akar literally is like a little pillow. And Rashi says, Yikar means Or Yakut. It's like that special aura that shines between the clouds. And as the sun rises, those little puffy pillows in the sky, what happens to them? They burn off and they are gone. Some treat the word Karim as pillows of grass, what we would call a lawn. And they, that looks like such a lovely piece of grass, what happens when the hot wind comes and gets it? Burns it right off. However you treat this, it's clear that they are like the morning fog. 1 minute it's here, 1 minute
it's gone.
Now these last verses here of this section sounds like an idyllic vision of a perfect world where God comes and rescues us. But we've yet to see it, haven't we? Really? This thing says, Ubimei Ra'avon, and in the days of hunger, they will be satisfied? Truly? It is true that those people whose values were highest, and Frankl writes this, who could show some caring to one another, who had some compassion, survived longer than those that were on their own and just did whatever they could to survive. But ultimately, the majority of even those that took care of one another were killed. And did they suffer hunger? The answer is yes. So they found meaning in their suffering. There was meaning. They remained mentioned. They did not become a beast.
Right. It's a different satisfaction.
So if that's the case, the satisfaction is not of the hunger, but lo rav lalechem, velo tama lamayim. It is not hunger for bread, not thirst for water, but for Dvar Hashem. I remained a mensch. That is why you must read it that way. Otherwise, this is la-la land. This makes no sense. This is Pollyannish, isn't it? So this becomes a big problem, and the problem is going to get worse. He then continues. Again, comparing the Rasha to the Tzaddik. Lo ve Rasha, ve lo yishalem. The Rosh borrows, does not pay back. The tzaddik chonen v'noten. But the tzaddik, even if he has only a little bit, has mercy and gives. Not only does he loan, but if he sees that the guy doesn't return, he says, never mind, it's a gift. Ki mevarchav yirshu aretz. For those who bless him will inherit the earth. Umekulelav yekaretum. And those that curse will be wiped out. Sounds a little bit like the blessing that was given to Avraham. Mevarechecha. Who is being blessed? Those that bless whom? Those that bless whom? Radak says, those who are blessed by God, that's the way he puts it, will inherit the earth. And those that are, but he's turning the word from an active verb to a passive verb. Those who bless God will inherit the earth. Those that curse God. But it's not merely blessing Abraham, it's blessing God. So what does the tzaddik say when he doesn't get paid back? Bon Hashem, must have been difficult for him. He will inherit the earth. He's mevatel. He gives up. He doesn't seek vengeance, but he keeps giving. Mehashem mitzadei gever konanu. Each step that a human being takes has been established. V'darko yechpatz. And his way is wanted. In other words, what I should be doing in this world has been reestablished, not predetermined. God told me how I'm supposed to live my life. He told me how I'm supposed to go the next step. So I'm going to follow that. I will do and choose what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do, not what looks like expedient. Not what looks like it's worthwhile. Ki yipol lo yutal. So that even if he should fall, this is the tzaddik falling. He took a misstep. He had an accident. He sometimes wasn't perfect. He doesn't fall all the way. He catches himself. Ki Hashem somech yado. For God holds on to his hand. Ki ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher lo yechtal. There's no righteous person who hasn't sinned. But he doesn't fall all the way because he knows what the path is. He knows the Torah. He knows, here's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do. So I'll take that next step. I'll take that next step. I fall back on that step. I don't ask, is it kedai? I ask, is this what God wants me to do? And he doesn't lose himself. And as a result comes the next line that has raised more questions than any. Nahayiti, gam zakanti, velo raiti tzadik ne'ezav, ve'zaro mevakesh lechem. So whoever's writing this is telling you, I was a lad, and now I'm old. Rashi says, it can't be David, because David barely made it to 70 years old, and that's not old. Chazal said that once you reach 60, you've reached old age. Yeah. Shishim lezikna. Now tell me, doesn't this defy reality? Did we not see tzaddikim who were abandoned? And didn't we see tzaddikim whose children died of hunger? Can you actually say this and mean it? Now the problem is that we say it when we bench. It was added into that last section of benching. You've just eaten a big meal. You're full up to here. You understand? You've already got heartburn. You've gotten overeaten. And now you bench. And you say, now that you've eaten, you tell me you haven't seen it. What do you mean you haven't seen it? This became so completely common that it became the banner cry of those who would choose to say, it's unfair, there is no God, God is dead, because, Naraiti v'gam zakanti, v'raiti, and I saw tzaddik ne'ezav, God abandoning the tzaddik, v'zaro mevakesh lachem, and his children are asking for bread. Is this written by somebody who's being literal? Is this such a, you know, like this idyllic kind of Pollyannish worldview and defies reality about what you're seeing? Well, in fact, if you do believe that way, then you'll answer like Job's friends, I guess you're not such a tzaddik. Because you must have deserved what you did, because when we're trying to justify what happens to tzaddikim, what we do is we have to either justify God, right? So it's one or the other. Which is it? Either he's not such a tzaddik, he just looks like a tzaddik, he must have done really bad things to deserve this, or there's no God. Or there's a God who created the world, as Aristotle would say it, but it's under Hashgacha Klalit. And he doesn't bother with the little guy. Rashi, as a result, says, it's not David that's saying this. Ze ne'amar al yedei Saro shel Olam. Saro shel Olam means the prince of the world. Who's the prince of the world? Rabbi Shimshon Rafael Hirsch says that this is world wisdom. Saro shel Olam, like there's Saro shel Yaakov, Saro shel Esav, like an angel. This is the one that sees, and Olam means not only the world, but Olam means eternity. Le'olam va'ed. Somebody who has the full view of all of history. And if you take that position, you would say as follows. I, who have seen all human history, tell you that there was no tzaddik ne'ezav. Tell me, what does it mean, ne'ezav? Says Ibn Ezra and Radak, they add the word legamre. He was not abandoned completely. Just a little bit. Does that make you feel any better? But what if I took the word zaro mevakesh lachem and I said, wait a minute, it doesn't say ubanav, it says zaro. You will remember that Eretz Yisrael was given by Hashem to Avraham, and he says, kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh, all this land that you see, eten lezaracha, I will give it to your, when? Did Yitzchak get it? Did Yaakov get it? Did the Shvatim get it? No. How many generations later? Zaracha can mean your descendants, your progeny. How long?
All the way
to the end. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that it will be given, that it's yours forever, but that it may actually not come to fruition. Remember, he also told him that they will be enslaved all beforehand. So the one that can see from the beginning of time to the end of time will see what? Now it'll begin to make sense. He was not abandoned to such a degree that his children were asking for bread. What would that mean? He may have died of hunger. But the survivors, those that came after him, many years later, did not have to beg for bread. One such argument could be as follows. A soldier goes to war, knows, and he's in the midst of a battle, and he knows that in order to now do something to save his country, to save his family, to save his buddies, he's going to do what? Give up his life. Is he doing the right thing? He's doing the right thing if he thinks that the reward for the right thing is that he saved his people. Okay, so the tzaddik was not utterly abandoned. You understand? That was one approach that takes it. Who then says it, says Rashi? Somebody who can see all of this and says, oh my God, they were hungry and they died of hunger and they gave their last piece. And now, generations later, look where we are today. Look at what's happened now. And if that's the case, then that death and that suffering was worthwhile. Because the reward is not only on me, it's also for not merely collective, no, my people, but literally I am connected in the chain of generations. Me and the following generations is one. Would I be willing to take the bread out of my mouth and give it to my child? The answer is yes. So that is one approach. The next approach, I told you that some say ne'ezav means not abandoned completely. But others yet would argue, and this is Dat Mikra, who tells us as follows. He was not abandoned by whom? And incidentally, this comes from the Kuzari. He says, tzaddikim, in the life of tzaddikim, those people who go mitzadei gever konanu v'darko yechpatz, who follow the way of the Torah, would not see a tzaddik ne'ezav. I won't stand for this and have his children beg for bread. What did we do, even in the worst of circumstances, even in the ghetto? Soup kitchen. Mutual aid. How can I stand by and eat and somebody else is suffering? Isn't it the case that virtually in every community in the diaspora, under the worst of circumstances, we had gmachim, we had soup kitchens, We have orphanages. We took care of one another. God wanted these tzaddikim. They will prevail precisely because what they did was the Torah told you. If you see a poor man, even your enemy, what must you do if you see him suffering? There is no people that understand stucke, like the Jewish people. It's the last thing that we have, you understand? It's always been the case, and this is not about whether or not you can take a tax deduction. That was the siman of who you are as Bnei Avraham, was Rachmanim. And as a result, remember what he said the first part? Chonen v'noten. The Rasha can borrow, and you didn't pay back, so that's not bad. Now I'll never see you again, right? And he knows that he took it out of you, and he can scam you. You're finished. The tzaddik, not only does he return what he borrowed, but if you stole from him, he says, "Ay, Nebuch, such a rachmanis, he must have been absolutely desperate. You know what? Let me give him a donation. Might help him get back on his feet." On the contrary, and notice that the word chonen and the concept of chinam, he gives him when he doesn't deserve it. He feels sorry, he feels pity, this empathy for the other. Ah, as a result. Now, Chazal tell us that the word ra'iti doesn't mean just saw, but ra'iti means, and I let it go. I agreed. I will not stand for it. Because when you concur with somebody, you say, aha, I see. I see. I see means I understand. I concur. And what is he saying? I was a lad and I got old, no matter what my circumstances was. I did not stand by and see a tzaddik ne'ezav, a tzaddik being abandoned and allowing his children to beg for bread. I took care of it before they could even ask for it. I made sure that they wouldn't have to beg for it. You see, this is the issue here. That's what he's telling us is the difference. Others yet give a different pirush for this, and they tell us as follows. Lo ra'iti tzaddik ne'ezav. And the word ne'ezav means not he is abandoned. I have not seen a tzaddik abandoning God, even when his children are begging for bread. In all my youth, I've seen tzaddikim, and when they suffer, they don't think God has abandoned them. And if God has abandoned them, I have not abandoned him. You see, switching the words, the grammar is not quite so, but that is the Medrash that tells us this. And as a result, you have the same language in Megillat Esther. Remember when Mordechai comes to Esther and demands that she goes to Achashverosh and risks her life? And so she comes before him and he asks her, what do you want? Anything you want. At chatsiya malchut. And she finally lets up and she says, Eichacha uchal veraiti. How can I stand and see the ovdan moladati? So what do you mean, see? How can I stand? Close your eyes, you won't see. The issue is, I cannot stand by and do
nothing.
That's what it means. Okay? And as a result, you'll see what the next line is. Kol hayom honenu malve. All day long, he has mercy, he has pity, and loans vizaro livracha. All day long, right? No matter what the situation is, I have enough, I don't have enough. What do? I give. And as a result, his children become a blessing. His children are a blessing to the world because of what they learned from their parents. You understand? That is the legacy. So it's not God who is being judged here. It's man who's being judged here. Sur mera. You can't destroy evil, but you can walk away from it. You've seen Sur Mera Vasetov in other places. Walk away from it and do good. Ushchon leolam. And as a result, you'll dwell forever. Ki Hashem ohev mishpat. And why will you dwell forever? For God loves those who do justice. Velo yazov et chasidav. And he will never leave those who love him. Le'olam nishmaru, they are kept forever. Ve'zera rishaim nicharat, but the seed, the progeny of evil, is wiped out. Tzadikim yirshu aretz. Righteous people will inherit the earth. V'yishkenu la'ad aleha. And will live, dwell on it forever. Meanwhile, you're surrounded by evil. You're surrounded by absurdity. What can you do? Pi tzadik yehegeh chokhmah. All the tzaddik can do is open up his mouth and speak and express wisdom. Uleshono tedaber mishpat, and his tongue will speak justice. Torat elokav bilibo, the Torah of God is in his heart. Lo timad ashurav, he will never trip, never be led astray. Tzofer rasha latzaddik. Meanwhile, evildoers are on the hunt for this tzaddik. Umevakesh lahamito, wants to kill him. Hashem lo yazvenu biyado, won't abandon the good ones. Velo yarshienu bihishafto, and when they come to judgment, he will never indict the righteous. Kavel Hashem, keep hoping for God. Ushmor darko, and preserve his way. In other words, even if you don't see him here. Ve'yirom emecha, and he will lift you up. La'reshet aretz, to inherit the earth. Behikaret reshaim tireh, and you will come to see, you will actually see, evil cut down. Ra'iti rasha aritz, I've seen a tyrannous orge, arrogant. Umitareh ke'ezrach ra'anan, v'yavo, and when I pass by later, v'hinei nenu, he's not here anymore. V'avakshehu v'lo nimtza, I'll seek for him. He won't be found. When? In the great expanse of history. Shmol tum. Keep your innocence, your integrity. U'ei yashar. And see only what is straight. Ki acharit le'ishalon. There is an end. There is a continuation for a man of peace. U'poshim nishmedu yachdav. But criminals will be destroyed together. Acharit Rishaim Nechata. Rishaim have no end. It's been cut off. Utshuat Tzadikim Hashem, and the salvation of Tzadikim will come from Hashem. Ma'uzam Be'etzara, he will be their strength in a time of trouble. Vayazrem Hashem, he will help them. Vayifaltem, he will rescue them. Yifaltem Mirishaim Ve'yoshiem, rescue them from evil and save them. Ki chasubo, for they found shelter in him. Alevai.